with a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You XC beasts, yes, welcome along to another Retro Press X to continue. This is the place where we share classic episodes of the podcast from days gone by when it used to live on a different platform. Now, this episode, we're taking you back again to 2022. Like I said, we're on a run of 2022 at the moment. This one is June, and we're doing this one because it's a retro gaming special where Gav Murphy, Mr. Midas, Claire Lim and myself go to a gaming bar. Loved recording this one. Loads of fun. Hope you do too. When I first came up with this idea for this podcast back in 2020, I thought this is what we would be doing.
That's how it was sold to me.
This is how it's sold to you, is it? In a room with real people, really in a room, with video games, talking about video games. And finally, 3 years later, we finally got to do it. We are recording the podcast from the same room with everybody in it for the first time in the Four Quarters Gaming Bar in Hackney, London. And alongside me, we have...
Hello, I'm Claire. Yes, presenter and gaming nerd. You've met me before, obviously. Hi.
Oh, yes, hi, Claire.
It's like we've never met.
I know. Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it?
Hi.
I'm Gav Murphy. I'm one third of RKG. We're a YouTube channel where we play video games.
And I'm the one and only Mr. Midas. I am a video game TV presenter and content producer and the guy who just wants to get off the pod to play some arcades.
Straight on Street Fighter. That was your first choice, wasn't it? You got a plethora of choice here, Midas, and yeah. You went straight for Street Fighter.
Had to. That's what started it all.
I wanted to start by talking about places like this. We've all been to them. I can remember the first time I went to a bar, and you see them in pretty much every city, every town across the UK now. When I stumble upon something like this before, I was like, oh my God, why have we waited till now for this to be a thing? Yeah. You know, because it's got old consoles in one corner, it's got arcade machines in the other corner. Why did it take so long for places like this, Claire, to become so popular?
The thing is, I was having a chat earlier about this, and I've been going to LA. Before COVID, I was going to LA quite a lot, and whenever I go travelling, the thing that I like to do is go to barcades, and they were doing them really well in LA, like pre-COVID. I don't know why it's kind of taken so long for it to sort of really, really emerge and pop up here. Maybe that COVID period and pandemic period stopped that progress and things. But I do feel now there's a thirst for, first of all, nostalgia. There's also young people who didn't grow up with these games.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very novel for them. Even the consoles, you know, there'll be like 18-year-olds coming to a bar like this going, what the heck is this?
Yeah.
You know?
I love the thought of somebody experiencing something like Soul Calibur, some random old game, like for the first time because they've stumbled upon it in a bar like this. I love that
thought. And then they're obsessed with it. Yeah. Well, I think that's the thing. It's like the games that are here, you look around, it's like Street Fighter, Golden Axe, Point Blank, Tekken, Crazy Taxi. They're like, there's no duff games. Like, they're all the best ones. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I think that's a bonkers thing that you can go, you can trace back all these incredible games to an arcade.
What do you think makes a good gaming bar like this, Midas? What makes one work? And because we've been to some that you feel like, oh, it's actually a bit rubbish, I need to move on. But what makes a good one, do you think?
I think the selection of games is really important. Like I was saying, like having those lead games, like, I can't even remember the last time I played The Simpsons. I can't even remember the last time Konami made a good game. That's a whole other conversation. But yeah, having the right selection, I think it's really cool when the bar incorporates like the drinks around the games as well. So you can get cocktails. Like the amount of cocktails that I've had that taste trash just because they're named after, I don't know, Legend of Zelda or named after Princess Peach.
Yeah.
And I'm drinking them over and over again because they got a gaming name to it.
When looking at these games, you remember the ones that you were good at? There are two arcade games when I was a kid that I could make a quid last. So back in the day, you put a pound in and that was your game. Like, whereas if I played Street Fighter, I would have to put loads of cash in there to get anywhere. There were two that I was good at.
Virtua Tennis.
Oh, nice.
Because the graphics, I know, like, tennis arcade game, boring. The graphics on Virtua Tennis back in the day, they were the best graphics out there. Yeah. Loved that. And my favourite achievement ever in life, and people can listen to this and not believe me if they want to, it's their choice. I completed Time Crisis 2 on a pound.
Don't believe it.
I need to see it.
Yeah. Fact. I'll believe it.
Fact.
I'll believe it.
Okay.
I don't think he would lie.
Yeah. That is a fact.
It's like a tall tale.
Yeah.
I was 23 at the time. But I did. But what was your favourite or your best one, Claire, when you were...
I mean, you've already said Time Crisis, but I'm looking at The Simpsons, and that was one of the first as well, and I absolutely loved The Simpsons game. Mm. Oh, my God. Like, it was just, it blew my mind because I was such a big Simpsons fan back in the sort of early to mid 90s. So when I got my hands on this game, it was like, oh my God, I'm playing the characters. It was such simpler time, Stefan.
Yeah.
Such simpler
time.
And
they did a really good, I don't think it was a Konami one, but the Ninja Turtles arcade game, which of course they're remaking now for consoles, aren't they? They just announced that latest one recently. Loved that.
Those were definitely my two. I think I've got my best ever memory of being in like a barcade or something. I was traveling by myself in Tokyo, and through a series of bad decisions, I'd end up going on holidays without the girlfriend I was meant to be going on holiday with. Let's just say that, right?
Let's brush over
it. Let's just say that.
Move on, move on.
I went to this barcade, and it was like you went in and you got free drinks. It was like Vegas. So I was like, oh, this is great. They don't know what they've done yet. Like, so I went in, and there was this game there called Densha to Go, which I think it cost me maybe 50 pence to have a go at. And I was on that game for 40 minutes. And what that game is like a really good simulation of the bullet train in Japan.
Yeah.
But you're the driver of it. And you haven't got to do much, but it's got like a proper like throttle. Yeah. It's got like a huge interface in front of you. So I'm sitting there playing this game for ages. And it's like Vegas, where they're bringing me like little beers. And I'm playing it. And I was like, this is either the best night of my life or I'm having a breakdown. And the line is so thin.
Just a small tear just rolling down.
But I tell you what, I was really good at that train, man.
Yeah.
Like, if the whole, like, podcasting and video thing goes wrong, I reckon I could drive the bullet train.
New career option.
Yeah. Remember Garth Murphy? Yeah, he lives in rural Japan now. He's a train driver.
I think he drove it drunk once, though.
Yeah. And I'm guessing Street Fighter View, because you've already been on it.
So do you know what? A memory that always comes to me is my cousin took me to an arcade when I was a kid. It was an arcade. It was a kebab shop. He took me to a kebab shop, and there was Street Fighter in there. And all I remember is the elephant sounds in Dalsim stages.
Yeah.
So I not elephant sound like that, but that's what it sounded like to me when I was young. And I was like, oh my days, what is that? Yeah. And I played it, and I remember watching him, and he was I always play as Ryu, he played as Ken, and all I remember hearing is Hadouken, say Ferga. I was like, oh my days.
Are you good at it?
Yeah, I had to get good at it. Like I said to you, I didn't have much money, so I had to get good so I could stretch my £2 as long as I can. But do you know what? It is pretty hard to play. I haven't played on a joystick for a long time because I'm so used to just control pads now. So it took me a little bit to be able to do a dragon punch. Couldn't get it out.
With the stick, though.
My brain's just not in tune to it anymore. Like, I was like, do what?
Well, we definitely do have a game after this now, because I want to see how good you are.
Yeah, I'm just watching him.
Also, what's the buttons? I don't even know.
But also, we've talked a little bit about the fact that there are consoles here as well. And I love the fact, that they're there because of that pang of nostalgia when you pick them up. Like, I'm just looking at, there's a PS1 over there and they're playing Rayman. Right, great game. When is the last time you're going to play Rayman, unless in a place like this? Do you ever worry sometimes, or when you do go back and play those old games in places like this, that you remember, game has come a long way, hasn't it, actually? They're a little bit janky.
Well, I don't know, though. Like you said, some of these games are really, really old, but, they still stand the test of time, which is why these are the main ones, you know what I mean? If the game is good, I don't think that... even though the graphics and stuff might, could get better and things like that and could look old, but if the game is good, you'll still get some time in it, I reckon.
Yeah, and I think maybe because you're not playing to complete it. You don't really care. It's like just having that spark, isn't it?
I'm going to completely disagree with you, right? I went to a bar recently and I jumped on GoldenEye, and the controls were trash. I was like, how do you play this? How, like, I thought GoldenEye had the greatest controls in a shooter ever. Same. And it was trash. I didn't know what I was doing. I looked like an idiot. I was like, I was amazing at this game. Like, where's the golden gun?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think GoldenEye is different, though, to, like, Street Fighter. Yeah. Like, Street Fighter is, like, that... The control scheme for that pretty much hasn't changed since the start. They were like, we perfected this. Whereas that, I guess, it was a product of its time and using that controller and stuff like that. Yeah.
So. I also think, though, that we're so... Sometimes we're just so used to games being so intuitive.
Yeah.
We're sort of spoiled. They've come such a long way. You know, and we've developed with those games through time, you know, and through age. So... Going back, you start to remember, like sometimes the controls were really janky and they were really hard. But back in the day, you know, it felt fine.
Yeah, it makes me wish, though, every time I come and I'm just looking at that N64 over there and I'm thinking, why didn't I keep my N64? Why did I think I gave it off to a cousin or someone, I can't remember. And not only are they worth a pretty penny now, but also it must be fun to like just go back and have a go when you can. Mm. Did you keep all of yours, Midas?
I haven't. Do you know what really upsets me? Like, one of my favorite retro consoles was the Dreamcast. Super underrated. And I had...
big old controller, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, big controller.
It's by the size of this table.
And Skies of Arcadia is, like, one of my favorite RPGs. Yeah. And it is worth... bucks right
is it?
Now
is it?
And I left it in my mum's house, and every time I see my brother I'm like, have you found my Skies of Arcadia game?
He's like, no, I sold that ages ago.
He was like, no, I don't think I've got that anymore. Coming in his Benz.
What was that?
Skies of who?
He lifts his chain.
What was that? It's Prada sunglasses. Sorry, what game was that? Yeah, tell me again. Have you got a favourite? Like, just looking across now, the Dreamcast was made. A mate of mine had the Dreamcast, and Shenmue on the Dreamcast at the time. Remember when that came out, I was like, oh my god, look at this graphics. This is so photorealistic, it's unbelievable.
Have you got played that for the first time when they remastered it and it came out like just before lockdown. I played that over lockdown. That was like one of my lockdown games, man. It was really good because you're just doing quite boring stuff.
Of course you did. Use the delivery driver.
You do quite boring stuff in it. I was like, at the time, I was like, this is really helping my mental health lockdown wise.
I've got a good game for you, Gab. Farming Sim.
Yeah.
You should play it.
Well, I have to fit in between all my trains, don't I? So it's going to be a lot.
So what have we got over there, Claire? We've got Dreamcast. We've got a Nintendo.
For me, 100% Dreamcast. And is for it? Me, it was Soul
of
Calibur.
Of all the choices, it was brilliant.
Yeah, Soul Calibur is like one of my favorite games of all time. Like, 100%. Like, me and my wee brother played that to death. Sungmina's my girl, man. Like, I loved that game so much as a sort of fight, because I love Street Fighter 2, you know, and I hadn't really played any sort of fighting game beyond that. And then when we got that, he was on Shenmue, my brother, and I was on Street Fighter, Soul Calibur. Absolutely loved it. It was incredible. What a game.
Why do you think, for people, some people listening might not realise the Dreamcast story. It came out same sort of time as the N64, wasn't it? Or was it the PS1? Can't remember. Yeah, PS1, N64, Dreamcast came out. But it just didn't work. And then that was the last console Sega ever did, because it used to be the three-horse race, Sega, Sony and Nintendo. Why did it flop?
I just feel like that market at the time, like, it was bustling, it was crowded, and it was very hard to stand out. And Nintendo and everyone else, like, I just think they had the bit of the edge on the marketing and the coolness of it all at that point.
Now, you might have heard a couple of random beeps there, because we are in a gaming gaming gap.
We're delivering you atmosphere.
This stuff happening.
Work out where it's going from.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out. Like, which one of the 100 machines in here could it be? So we got Dreamcast here, and you choose the Dreamcast?
No, mine would be the N64 and Ocarina of Time. To be able to replay that. Oh, that's...
In a bar, though. That's not a lot.
No, you just said, what's your greatest? Oh, yeah, I'll be on my own. With my peach cocktail, with my pink umbrella, sitting on my own, and I'll be playing as Link, and I'll cry when he pulled the Master Sword out. Because I remember first playing that as a kid, like, the internet weren't a thing like that, and playing it and being like, oh my goodness, this is incredible. And I'm thinking, oh, the game's finished now. I pulled the Master System out and I became Adult Link. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's so much more game.
Like, right, last order's made. You gotta go now.
It's 2 a.m. There's a queue behind me. I'm like, yeah, that would be me.
Obviously, we are here. We talked a little bit about arcade machines, but you know, the fact that they're still knocking around is because the games, we've all moved on so much. Why is it, do you think, that people still love playing arcade machines? I mean, in Japan, we talked a little bit about Japan. In Japan, they're obviously still massive. It's never quite been the same here, is it? But in terms of like, people are, do love it when they do get a chance to play one. What is it about them, do you think, Claire?
I don't know. I feel like playing games generally, for me anyway, has always been a sociable thing. And now that I'm an adult, I can drink and play, which is handy. And it's a nice, it's a different sort of atmosphere from just sitting in a pub.
Yeah.
As I said before as well, you get like young people that come in and they won't, you know, we're sitting at table right now, for example, and I think this is Bomb Jack.
It is, yeah. It came up on screen.
And so, yeah, we've got Bomb Jack here. I had this on the Atari ST. You know, so there'll be people like me going, oh my God, that's Bomb Jack. And someone going, what the heck is this? Mm. So it's a nice sociable atmosphere, something different from just sitting in a pub, just staring at everyone. I mean, not that I don't want to stare at your lovely faces and just have a drink. But yeah, it's a point of interest as well, you know, and it brings people together. That's what video games have always done.
Favourite arcade game?
My favourite arcade game of all time.
Of all time. We ask tough questions in this podcast, Claire, you know that.
I know you've said it already several times. It has to be Time Crisis.
It has to be Time Crisis.
So good. Like, the amount of hours I spent on that in, like, a little bowling alley in Glasgow where they had Time Crisis, and I wouldn't just not be interested in the bowling. I was like, yeah, see you in a couple of hours. And I'd just be on Time Crisis, like, reload, oh my God, dodge and duck and weave. Oh, I loved Time Crisis.
I think the reason why arcades are so successful is the experience. Because I think as gamers, we're just so used to just sitting down in front of our TV and gaming.
Yeah.
And the Wii revolution, like, everyone was excited to wiggle their hands and stuff. And then we kind of got bored over that. And I think that's why this is so successful, because being able to take out a gun in Time Crisis or actually sit in your car in Mario Kart, we don't get that at home. And even though the games are much more advanced and thing, and just the loud sounds, like, this is the quietest arcade I've been to in my life. That little beep is perfect, because arcades are usually so loud. Like, you feel it in your chest.
I wish we'd planned that beep to hit that night as well. Oh, look at this.
I've been in this place when it's been full and it's a really good laugh, man. It's a really good atmosphere, because you have people sitting around just here for the swigs.
Yeah.
And then you have people who are like, ooh, should I go on Point Blank? And then going up and stuff. It's a really, really good atmosphere. It's a really good laugh.
Yeah. So one other point about places like this then, do we think, because in the pandemic, online gaming came really important to me, especially, you know, keeping in touch with playing with mates online. But I still want to keep that connection, but also, I like people. I like hanging out with people, and this gives you a chance to do both.
Well, it's the same with us. Like, we started this podcast in a pandemic, and then we've just said, you know, we've all come here today. It's like the first time I've met producer Mike. Like, he's been a big part of my life for 3 years. Do you know what I mean? So it's like the
point. Why is WhatsApp me again?
That's the thing. Like, the point is that people will all, as much as, you know, we sort of pivoted to doing things online, and that was always that was a really, really good laugh. People are, you know, starved for an actual connection and getting together, and also, you know, it's just a lot better when you can have a pint, isn't it? Pints are better than bottles and cans. Like, that is just science.
I think experiences are something that you cannot replace, you know? And that's why people are enjoying going back to live events and things like that again, you know? And this is an experience, you're totally right. Holding a drink in your hand, you know, meeting a friend of a friend, like, maybe like wandering around and seeing somebody getting a really high score in something, taking in an atmosphere and, you know, kind of hearing music and feeling everything, smelling everything. And you cannot do that in your pajamas at home, you know, streaming or gaming online.
Yeah. I like looking at stuff, Midas, before choosing what to play. Looking on an online store or searching through Game Pass, it's not quite the same, is it?
Yeah, don't bang. Do you know what's really interesting as well? So many people got back into gaming during the pandemic. So actually coming out and seeing the old games that they haven't played for years, and they're like, oh, I remember Simpsons and Konami used to make good games. And I remember all of that. And then they jump in back on it. So I think that's pretty cool.
Arcade games are hard as well, Midas.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they a lot of people don't realize, like, I was playing Street Fighter. They put that on hard mode for a reason. You're not playing standard mode.
You're trying to make cash, don't they?
They put you on a hard mode, and then they won't put you on extra hard because they want you to keep coming back and make you think you can win.
Yeah, they want you to get to like level 4 and be like, I think I am good at this, and then you get absolutely creamed.
Just
like,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah, on that point, I'd like to come clean about my time crisis.
I'm happy to
set the record straight 11 years after the event.
Okay.
Okay, because I've said this multiple times on multiple programs that I completed time crisis for a pound.
Okay.
That is factually correct.
Right.
But I was 23, it was in an arcade in Aberystwyth, and they had changed it so it was 10p a play. Not pound a play. So technically, it was 10 goals. So it would have cost me a tenner in old money.
I backed you in that story.
But it, no, because
you didn't lie, though.
I didn't lie, though. Thank you. Thank you, Midas.
You didn't lie, though.
I didn't lie. I have factually completed Time Crisis for one English pound. That is a fact.
But I'm also...
How many goals did you take?
I didn't say that. I didn't say anything about goals.
You implied there was one full goal.
How you took that information is entirely on you, but I feel better now I've shared that with the group and everybody listening at home.
That's actually how the information... was actually presented. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Anyway, right. We couldn't come all this way to an arcade bar without... So I didn't clock the term barcade until one of you said it earlier.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that in my life.
You thought you came up with it, didn't you? You were like, that's it. Hold on.
So we couldn't come here and not have a little competition between us all, right? And now the person who's going to come last is buying a round of drinks. We're not going to make you listen to the whole thing. So by the magic of podcasting and audio editing, here's how we got on.
Press X to continue.
Okay, so the idea is we're going to play an absolute classic, Sega Rally. Me and Claire are going to be driving the cars. With a twist, we're blindfolded, and Gav has got to direct me, and Midas is directing Claire. What could possibly go wrong? Let's see how it goes.
All right, let's go.
All right, Midas, right, okay.
3, 2, 1, go! All right, so your first bend's coming up in the right.
Easy right. Go to your left a minute. You're in the middle. You're actually gone straight in. There you go.
More left. All right, get to the right.
That's it. That's lovely. Straight up again.
Straighten up a bit. Move to the right.
Straighten up.
Bend's coming to the left in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Left.
There you go. Over to the right. Go to your left.
All right, you're staying straight. You're doing incredible. Move to the left. All right, straight all of the way. All of the way. Oh, we have.
Oh my God!
Not close at all.
Well, it's been an expensive few minutes for us, Gav.
Well, you're on the BBC bucks, right? So that's fine for me.
Wait. You said you brought your credit card.
Well, I got it.
Right then, before we go. One thing we realised when we were planning this special episode, I guess you could call it special, that we're all in the same room together, aren't we? So we can call it special, is that our Hall of Game, the glorious, fantastic, soon-to-be award-winning Hall of Game, doesn't actually have an arcade machine in it. So we're going to sort that out right now, because that is a travesty, actually, in hindsight. We've been doing this for 3 years, and there's not...
I guess we almost did with like Outrun and stuff like that. That's the closest we've come, maybe, with the racing game one.
Yeah. Street Fighter 2 is in there, but I think it was the Nintendo version rather than this one. Anyway, so this is how it's going to work, because as we've said loads of times this podcast, we are a democracy. So we will vote on it. We're all going to pick one.
Okay.
And then we'll put it in. We'll vote to see which one gets the choice to go in there. Right. I'll go first, because I look at Claire, you're probably going to choose the same one.
I think I know what you're going to say.
Because of that moment it gave me, completing it for a pound.
Well,
factually correct. Yeah. For me, not Time Crisis 1, Time Crisis 2, because I thought the first one was fine, but the second one sort of worked on the... sorted out the kinks a little bit more. And I'll tell you for why you're putting Time Crisis in. Midas made a good point earlier that the love of arcades is because it's more interactive. There is, you are holding a gun or driving a car. There's that element to it. When I talk about Time Crisis, I automatically tap my foot.
Yeah.
Because you're like, that's the motion for when you're like, you know, ducking behind cover and what have you. And I just think that every time you have a go on Time Crisis, it's a good time. Whether you die fast or you have a deep run, like, say, completing it for a pound. You know, like, those experiences, I think, just stay with you. And so for me, I'm putting Time Crisis 2 is my game on the table.
Okay. I'm going to go with, I guess, a sequel of sorts as well. I'm going to go for Ms. Pac-Man.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I love Pac-Man, but Ms. Pac-Man is, if there's two options in a barcade like this one, I will go for Ms. Pac-Man. It's a much improved version, I think, of Pac-Man. It's super fun. It's really easy to get into. It's absolutely classic. And when you think of arcade games, yes, you think of all the things we're looking at. We've mentioned The Simpsons, Golden Axe, Street Fighter, but classic Pac-Man. But I'm going to go for Ms. Pac-Man because it did improve upon the first one.
Okay, Ms. Pac-Man. Good shot. Also, to be fair, you are right. When you think of some people listening, our kids will be Space Invaders.
Sure.
And they will be Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
It will be Pac-Man. So, yeah, good shot. What are you saying, Gav?
I've got to go The Simpsons game. I think The Simpsons game is one of those that is genuinely really, really good. It's funny. Like, if you're into The Simpsons as well, like, I watch The Simpsons every single day.
Yeah.
And if you're into The Simpsons, there's, like, it's full of in-jokes. I remember seeing it first time when I was on holiday and seeing The Simpsons thing, and I was like, what is this? And it was like, all of my Simpson dreams come true.
Yeah.
And it's such a good laugh, but it's still really good to play. And I played it recently with a partner who never played it. And she had a go of it and, like, instantly was just hooked. Like, she's into video games, but, like, anybody can get into it because it is a side-scrolling beat-em-up. So it's kind of like Streets of Rage, where you're just going and getting bosses and things like that. The bosses are genuinely really, really hard as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, for all of the amazing memories I've got as a kid playing with my little sister, or my big sister, it was amazing.
We are actually five of us, because Gav's dog Coco is here as well, and has her own chair.
Yeah.
I think, though, Coco got very excited when I said Time Crisis, so I think...
I
think she's on my side.
No, I think she was raising her ears when you went, you did it for a pound.
Which
she was questioning.
She understands currency, so.
I'm with you, so I got your back.
Yeah. As we've discussed, my list, I'm still factually correct. Right, what are you saying?
All right, so obviously, I'm putting in Street Fighter, but I'm going to put Street Fighter Turbo, Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Yeah.
Because two things. One, everyone kind of got good at Street Fighter, and then Turbo came out and it was a lot faster and some people couldn't keep up. Two, actually seeing Ryu wearing sky blue my mind. I'm like, oh my goodness, he's not wearing white. Like, he's wearing sky blue. Like, how can he change his clothes? Like, that is amazing. So you had to get good. Look, she stood up for Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Yeah, she was like, no way. Simpsons.
So, yeah, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, because you had to get good again. It was a lot faster, and it came to console pretty quick after.
Yeah, now, so Street Fighter 2 Turbo, I loved. My favorite Street Fighter character was DJ. It was first introduced, Street Fighter 2 Turbo. We had a podcast about representation and diversity the other day. I think that was the first time I saw a black character in a video game.
Well,
was DJ?
No, because Balrog was first.
Balrog, of course.
Balrog's in thingy, but DJ's, for me, DJ was Jamaican. So I was like, yes, a Jamaican. I think he's the only Jamaican I've ever seen in a video game.
But I think DJ was on the side of the machine, wasn't he? There was a big drawing of DJ on the side of the machine. So maybe that's why it stuck in my mind more, whereas Balrog was just one of the characters you could choose.
Yeah.
Interesting, though. Okay, Street Fighter 2 Turbo. So, right, let's talk this out. I think, Midas, unfortunately for you, we're going to have to disregard that straight away because Street Fighter 2 is already in the Hall of Games. So I think...
Tricked you, mate.
So I think you had your shot.
Just take it out.
Now,
You supported him as well.
Just get rid of the original.
You know, so look.
That's what you'll do, mate. You'll turn on a dime on you, mate.
This is twice now, you know. Two times. I'm sorting from the last time I gave you a game.
Hey, look, it's doggy dog out there, okay? Right? So that's. I think that's fair, though, right? I think that's probably said.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Sorry, I'm fine with that. Probably not going to be Time Crisis either.
You don't think Time Crisis?
Just because of the lies. And
well, it's not a lie, is it?
Nobody likes
lies. Because of the lies. He looked at you really seriously when he said that as well.
When you say arcade, so this is why I think it shouldn't be The Simpsons.
Okay.
You know, feel free to disagree. When you say arcade machines, you don't think Simpsons. You do think Pac-Man and you do think Time Crisis.
I don't know. I think of that four-player Simpsons thing, like, in my head. There's a reason that it's here.
Okay. So I think The Simpsons is pretty cool, but I think you're correct. When I think arcade...
Even though he's turned his back on you twice in recent memory.
Yeah, I want to hit him with this mic. But anyway, I have to stay true. I think Simpsons is proper cool, but... It's very rarely that you get to see it.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why you don't see it a lot.
Okay, right, good. There we are. So, unfortunately, Gav, I'm sorry. That's
I think Claire's kind of into The Simpsons.
I mean, I do. Like, it's the first one I've ever played.
Okay.
Like, and I... But like at the same time, I don't think it's deserving of the Hall of Game because I think my choice is better.
Okay, so it comes down to this then. Miss Pac-Man versus Time Crisis.
So do you want to go with someone who's honest or a liar? That's literally what we're saying.
It's not about the people making the suggestion. It's about the game itself.
If I had to vote, I would go for Time Crisis just because of the experience of doing that. I feel like if you play Miss Pac-Man on a home console, you're pretty much getting the same, a similar experience to it. Whereas in Time Crisis, I had the G-Con 45 for the PS1 in my house, and it was just not the same experience as the arcade. So in the arcade, it's this whole other experience. And I can like remember the of the gun going back.
But is it more iconic than Ms. Pac-Man for the Hall of Games?
Ms. Pac-Man's boring, man. Come on.
It's not boring. Oh my god. Okay. I was on your side of the table as well.
So, Midas, it's basically it's coming down to you.
This is really hard because Miss Pac-Man is very iconic, and the whole story behind how Miss Pac-Man was made was
But is there a laugh though?
Was incredible, and Steph's face is getting me mad right now because
is it as good a laugh as a gun?
He's taken two of my games out, but nothing's more iconic than walking into an arcade and playing Time Crisis, having the blue and the pink gun and the foot pedal like that. For me, is what an arcade is.
Yeah.
So as much as I'm not happy that Street Fighter 2 Turbo is not going in,
instantly disregarded. That's fine.
Time Crisis it is.
No, I'm not unhappy with that decision because you know how much I love Time Crisis.
Love it. Yeah. So and especially when it's based on an emotional story of a man completing a game for a pound. You know, that's great.
You supported.
I made my decision without that.
Without that, fine. Look, I think it's a fair choice.
I'm definitely judging you, Gav, but that's okay.
I think it's a fair. It's a fair choice. Time Crisis 2.
Time Crisis 2.
Yes, Time Crisis 2 especially is in the Hall of Game. Thanks for being with us till the end, you XC Beasts. I'll see you on Tuesday for the next episode of Press X. Bye-bye.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl. It's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl. Happy Friday. It's Jen. Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts. Like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.